chapter number 2. First of all, John chapter 2. And we're going to read from verse 23. John chapter 2, verse 23. And we're going to read into chapter 3. Just to get the background to chapter 3, because at the end of chapter 2 we're faced with a problem, and we find the answer in what follows in chapter 3. That is the problem of man's sin, his incapability to be obedient to God. It says the word of God, "Now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover, in the feast day, many believed in his name when they saw the miracles which he did. But Jesus did not commit himself unto them, because he knew all men, and needed not that any should testify of man. For he knew," that is, he knew well what was in man. "But there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again." That concludes for the moment this reading of the good word of God together. Now, if you ever visit Scotland, as I hope you will if you've never already, and you want to visit the city of Dundee, it just lies about 80 miles north of Glasgow, the city of Dundee. And as you approach the city of Dundee, there is a welcome sign on the side of the road, and it says, "Welcome to Dundee, the city of discovery." The city of discovery. Because birth in Dundee, down at the riverside, there is the famous scientific exploration ship called Discovery, that the late Robert Scott, the Captain Scott, along with Shackleton, they made their trip to the Antarctica in a scientific expedition. They were wanting to discover things in the South Pole, in the Antarctica. And I'm going to suggest tonight that for Nicodemus, Jerusalem that night became for him the city of discovery, as he was conversing, speaking to the Lord Jesus. The Bible tells us that this man was a Pharisee. He was a member of a very strict religious sect of the Jewish religion. He was a man who sincerely believed in the existence of God. Not only that, he was a ruler of the Jews. He was a member of the Sanhedrin, the ruling council of the Jewish people. And further, as we read down, we didn't read it, the Lord Jesus describes him as the teacher of Israel. He was an outstanding teacher. He taught the law of God. And yet, he didn't know the ABCs of the gospel. And so the Lord Jesus is going to teach him the ABCs of the gospel. And you know, the first thing, and there were many things he discovered that night, the first thing that Nicodemus discovered that night was this: he needed to be born again. He needed to be born from above. He needed to be born of God. Jesus said to him, I solemnly say unto you, Nicodemus, except a man or a woman be born again, they cannot see nor enter the kingdom of God. Now you'll notice the Lord Jesus doesn't say they cannot see nor enter heaven. Now that's true. Unless you're born again, you'll never be in heaven. But he says specifically, you'll never see nor enter God's kingdom. You see, God has a kingdom. It's at present hidden from this world. It's a spiritual and a moral kingdom. It's the sphere where God rules. And everything in that kingdom are all subject to God's authority. Whether it's angels or whether it's redeemed men who are in heaven at this moment of time, everyone in God's kingdom is subject to God's rule. Just the same way if someone moves to Great Britain and you want to live in this country, then you've got to be subject to the laws of the king. You've got to be subject to his authority. And so there's a simple illustration. So it is with God. If you're going to be in God's kingdom, then you have to be subject to his authority and subject to his rule, and you must have a capacity to do that. Now the sad thing is that men don't. And that's why I read at the end of chapter 2, here is the Lord Jesus, and he's in the city of Jerusalem. And it's at the time of the Passover, an annual religious festival to which hundreds of thousands of Jews came from all over the Roman Empire, as well as the land of Israel, and they descended upon the city of Jerusalem to commemorate the great night when their forebears was delivered from bondage in Egypt by the blood of the Lamb. And you know, the Lord Jesus, he was performing miracles, signs and wonders. And it says when they saw the miracles, it says they believed in his name. They made a profession that they believed in him. But it says, but the Lord Jesus, he did not entrust himself to them. He wouldn't trust the crowd. Why was that? Because he knew well what was in man. And they were saying with their lips that they believed in him. And perhaps they wanted to make him their king, as they often did. But the Lord knew, as he looked into the hearts of these men and women, that they did not have the capacity to be subject to God's authority. Why is that? Because of sin, you see. You see, the Lord, he didn't just look at the outward appearance like us. The Bible says man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks upon the heart. Dear friends, I can only look in your face and look in your outward appearance tonight, but I want to tell you, at this moment of time, God can look right into your heart. He can look right into the depths of your soul, and he knows all about you. And you see, we're going to have to learn, really, our condition before God. You see, it's only God who knows the heart. You see, if I had a heart trouble, thankfully I don't, but if I developed a heart problem, I wouldn't just want to see my GP. I want to see the specialist. I want to see the heart specialist. I want to see the man who knows all about the heart, and he'll be able perhaps to detect the problem and do something about it. So dear friend, if you want to really know the kind of heart you have, it's only God who knows it. And you see, he describes it in Jeremiah's prophecy in chapter 17 and verse 9. You know what he says about the human heart? He says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who's he talking about? The men in the prison, the women in the prison, is he talking about them? Oh yes. But he's talking about the people sitting in the tent in Bicester tonight. He's talking about your heart, your heart. And this is a description of your heart. God says it's deceitful above all things and it's desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, I search the hearts, I try the reins, and I give to every man according to his words. Dear friend, God, the eternal, all-knowing God, he can search your heart tonight. He knows all about you. And he tells us in his word that your heart and my heart at one time, he says, is deceitful. That's a very interesting word. In the Hebrew language, that word actually means twisted, crooked. That's how God describes the heart of mankind. Your heart and my heart, it's morally crooked, twisted, incapable of right moral judgment. And that's why we sin. That's why we disobey God. That's why we're rebellious at heart and we want to do our own thing and we want to go our own way and we don't want to be subject to God and we don't want to be subject to God's law because we're sinners. And this is a sad result of the fall of man in the beginning. We were hearing about that last night, about Adam and how when he sinned, he brought the whole human race down. And that's why you were born a sinner. And that's why you were born in this condition. And so I discovered that the heart of man is morally twisted. And religion is powerless to straighten it. But not only that, I discovered that not only is my heart, or was my heart, or your heart twisted, but he says it's desperately wicked. Now again, that's a very interesting word. It's the kind of word that we wouldn't like to hear, you know. When you've gone to the heart specialist and he's done all the tests, and then you meet up with him, and he says, I'm sorry to tell you, really, but your condition is incurable. That's a word we all dread, isn't it? Incurable. Nothing can be done. It's beyond repair, incurable. And that's how God describes the heart. Not only is it twisted, but it's incurable. If left to ourselves, we cannot change it. Says Jeremiah the prophet, can the Ethiopian change his skin? Or the leopard its spots? Can a man change the colour of his skin by his own willpower? Oh no, you say, that's impossible. Well, let them do good who are accustomed to doing evil. In other words, dear friend, it doesn't matter how hard you try, you cannot change what you are. That's why we need to be born again. Here's the answer. This man Nicodemus, with all his religion and all his sincerity, he had a heart that was deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And the Lord Jesus is telling him the answer. Except a man be born again. Here's the answer to this sad condition that mankind has. It's new birth. It's been born of God. It's been born from above. It's a spiritual birth. Nicodemus couldn't get his head round it. He said, how can a man be born again when he's old? I take it Nicodemus was an elderly man. How can a man be born again when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? You know, Nicodemus was kind of thinking about another natural birth. That says the Lord Jesus. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That's the day you come into the world. You were born into the world. That's of the flesh, but that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. It's a spiritual birth, and it's a work of God. I wonder, dear friend in the tent tonight, have you been born again? Have you received this, not just new life, but this new nature, this new heart, this capacity to know God and to love God, and this desire to be obedient to God. I thank God for that moment in my life, March the 22nd, 1965, about 7 o'clock at night, I was born again. Born of God. You say, what did you do? Did you decide to turn over a new leaf and try to be better? No, dear friend, in repentance I turned to the Lord Jesus, believing that when he died on the cross, he died for my sins, and he rose again. And that night I just simply turned to Christ. And at that moment of believing, I was born again. My sins were forgiven. I became the possessor of eternal life. And I was born from above. And you know, at that moment, I entered into the kingdom of God. I thank God I'm in the kingdom tonight. Are you in the kingdom? Have you been born again? You say, well, no, Dan, I haven't been born again. How do you get born again? How does this happen? This miracle of God in the human heart. How is it brought about? Well, we have the answer in John chapter 1 and verse 12. And John tells us there verse 11, that he was in the world, verse 10, he was in the world, and the world was made by him. He's referring to the Lord Jesus, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, that is his own land, and his own people they received him not. But listen to this. But as many as received him, to them gave he the power, the authority, to become the sons or the children of God, even to them that believe in his name. He doesn't stop there. He goes on to say, speaking about the same people that have received Jesus Christ by faith, he says, which were born, not of blood. That is, not of bloods. It doesn't run in the blood. Spiritual life doesn't run in the blood. Because your parents or grandparents were believers and were born again, that doesn't make you a believer. Some people think that. They think because their parents are Christians and somehow that makes you a Christian. It doesn't run in the blood. Spiritual life. You need to get this for yourself. Says the word of God, who are born not of bloods, not of the will of the flesh. That is, it's not by my own willpower that I can bring about this miracle within me. Not of the will of the flesh, and then he adds, and not by the will of man. There's no man can bring about this miracle. You know, there's men and they claim to be able to just immediately get you into God's kingdom when they sprinkle some water in your head, as they did with me when I was a boy of 2 months. 2 months old, my parents took me to a religious building, and there a man sprinkled what was supposed to be holy water from Loch Cutter. It was no more holy than the water we use for our tea, but he thought it was holy water. And he took this holy water, a handful of it, and he sprinkled it on my little face. And he pronounced that I was now a member of the visible body of Christ, an inheritor of the promises and of the kingdom. The man was talking, I say it respectfully, he was talking baloney. I don't know where he got it from, but he didn't get it from the word of God. So I hope you're not depending, as I spoke to a dear lady yesterday on the doors, and she said, you know, I've had my 3 children christened. And in fact, I got christened myself. Well, I didn't have the heart to say to her that she made a big mistake, but I just said, well, you know, I was christened when I was 2 months old, but I discovered at 20 that I needed to be born again. And so we gave her a word of testimony. Dear friend, I hope you're not depending in your baptism, whether it's by sprinkling or whether it's by total immersion. I hope you're not depending in that. There's many a person professed and been baptized, and sadly they're in hell tonight because they were never born again. Friend, be sure you're born of God. And so this birth, it's not of the flesh, and it's not of the will of man, and it doesn't run in the blood, but he says, but of God. They're born of God. You see, dear friend, the moment a sinner receives the Lord Jesus by faith, receives him as their Savior, the world rejected him. He was in the world, and the world knew him not, and eventually the world cast him out. But to as many as received him. Have you received him? Have you received him? Have you received the Lord Jesus? Have you received him as your Savior and your Lord? Well, you say, no, Dan, I haven't. Well, I want to say this. No better place than here in the tent tonight, and no better time than now to receive the Lord Jesus. Remember, to as many as received him, to them gave he the authority to become the children of God, even to them that believe in his name, who were born not of the flesh, not of blood, doesn't run in the blood, nor of the flesh, can't be brought about by your own self-will, nor of man. There's no man can perform some ritual or rite that gives you spiritual life, but of God. Dear friend, I implore you tonight, as I finish, if never before, receive the Lord Jesus now. He won't refuse you. Trust him now as your Savior, and at that moment, you will be born again.